Welcome to Getting Things Done with Lotus Notes, the podcast. Listen to the experts share tips and tricks for smart work.
Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Getting Things Done with Lotus Notes, the podcast. I'm Eric Mack, and today we're continuing the conversation with GTD creator and productivity expert, David Allen.
This podcast is brought to you by eProductivity, makers of the performance improvement application for Lotus Notes. Work smart. Restore sanity to your hectic, information-overloaded life, and get more done.
How do you get things done when you have too much to do? And what happens when so much is coming at you that there's no time to even write down what needs to be done? How do you escape the tyranny of the urgent? This and more coming up. I'm here with David Allen, creator of the Getting Things Done GTD methodology. Hi, David.
Hi, Eric. Delighted to be here.
A couple questions around due dates and date-specific items. Along this thread, Cyrus asked, when scheduling actions, how can one juggle multiple to-do items that are all due at the same time? The stressor is having too much to do at one time. How to best mitigate the bulk using your GTD methodology?
The weekly review. Every week, you've got to be looking out to both the actions. Mostly, actions don't have due dates. It's projects that do, or sub-projects, or milestones that need to be achieved by a certain day. You know, call Fred. You can call Fred anytime. You just need to make sure you have the budget drafted by Friday. So it's the, I need to have the budget drafted by Friday. Those are the kind of due dates that you do need to have somewhere. Now, you can park those. If that's your whole project, you can just put that due date on the project. The real key is how often do you need to be looking at the hard due dates on what so that some part of you can say, okay, how do I get all that done by Friday? I better start carving out an hour and a half every day so that nobody, you know, holds my schedule hostage and I block that in because I can see that coming. So that's where the weekly review really provides the glue that knits this stuff together, is simply by looking backwards and forwards in time as well as at your whole inventory on a consistent basis. Then you start to make smarter decisions about actions, about how do you start to block out and bracket the real time that you really might need to get these things done.
At the risk of getting too commercial, I think it's appropriate to mention the weekly review process. For those of you that downloaded the reference database, there's an overview of that process. And then there are two tools that, David, you guys have in your store that I found very valuable. In addition to that document, I know that you and Meg Edwards put together a series of CDs where you actually just walk someone through the weekly review process. And so I feel very comfortable giving that plug here. If that's something you'd like to learn more about, you can go download the free document or that weekly review coach CD series. I found that very helpful.
That's a powerful product because by the weekly review, it's kind of a microcosm of the implementation of the whole GTD methodology itself anyway. So there's a lot of between-the-lines value to that one, too.
And then for people who are using notes, and okay, here comes the shameless plug, we built that entire weekly review process, the process of reminding you about the things you need to think about, looking back, looking forward, into the eProductivity software. So we'll talk about that later on.
And by the way, I'll decommercialize the whole thing. All of you listening to this, sit down and ask yourself, what do I need to ask myself and look at every Friday afternoon so I got a clean weekend?
And they'll invent a weekly review.
That's it. You're going to do your own anyway, so you know that is just one of the best checklists you can do. And that's not something to be doing every hour, every day. You need the freedom to just be doing work and making quick, intuitive judgments about what to be doing minute to minute because the world's moving too fast. But you can only give yourself the luxury to operate that way if you build in those oases once a week and give yourself a good checklist. Whether it's our version of the weekly review or your own templated version of that, to walk yourself through it.
David, when you were coaching me, you said something to the effect of, you know, I don't have to think during the week because I did all my thinking during my weekly review. While that sounds pithy, there's a great deal of truth in that because you're actually able to just jump into execution mode.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's about true with anything. The funny thing is that if you don't think enough, you can't stop thinking. You know, and the reason things are on people's mind is because they haven't put their mind on it appropriately enough yet. So it's funny. So if you really want to get your mind to shut up, you better use it.
Okay.
And finish the process.
Let's keep marching along, because I'd like to see if we can wrap up this section within the hour. That's a nice chunk that people can take away and listen. But I want to acknowledge these people's questions. Here's Henry's question. Sort of ties into the above, so maybe a short answer would work. David, I've been asked this before and have encountered it before. What happens when there is so much coming up, example, tasks assigned to you and my inbox filling up, that I can't even do the collection of items, the collection process? I don't even have time to write down what needs to be done. Sounds like this guy is in crisis mode.
Yeah. Well,
if you have something to write with, always with you, it doesn't take very long to write it while it's happening. I get the idea. But
sounds like he needs a trusted system to capture in.
Yeah, you need an in basket right in front of you that you can hit from 3 feet away with anything. You need a notepad you carry with you. You can write something in a second and toss it in there. And you just need to make sure you got good trusted buckets. You just need to make sure you get them empty enough, otherwise you won't trust throwing stuff in there.
Here's a question also from Scandinavia, from Janko. A question possibly for Eric and David. How do you organize multiple in buckets, next action lists, etc.? As an application architect and project manager, I'm having a hard time managing all of my lists. For example, stuff in Lotus Notes, emails, calendar, stuff in Microsoft project planning systems, web tools that I have for managing bugs, web-based task management. I'd be really interested in practical hints on how people manage this in the real world. And you know what? I'm looking ahead to the next question, David. I'm going to read it too because I think they really go together. Frank is asking, what about practicing GTD in the cloud? For example, people are leaving messages about work on my Facebook page. I think what these two people are asking is they're dealing with the complexities of multiple streams of input. And would you speak to that?
Well, I have multiple streams of input. I have my Tickler file because it delivers stuff to me. I put in there to deliver stuff to myself at some designated future date. My mailbox at home, my mailbox at work, my in-basket at work. My in-basket I travel with in my briefcase, my red traveling in folder that, you know, receipts and notes and so forth, business cards and stuff go in there. My email system. So in principle, you have as many inputs as you have. The question to you is it worth allowing the world to use that as a feed into your world? If you've done that, that's your call. And if you've done that, you better then scan that stuff as often as you think you need to scan that stuff. Obviously, some things will probably have more of a priority to get empty as others, but the truth is, if you really want to get your head clear and keep things clear, you just have to be disciplined enough. Whatever you've agreed to have as an input source better be zeroed out as consistent a basis as you decide you need to make sure you haven't missed anything. So if that's the general principle, then it's just a matter of volume and scale, but it's your world. You're the one who's let it happen.
I think this is also a place where a checklist can be really good just to make sure that we're touching all of those in-baskets. You know, 20 years ago, David, you and I had a telephone and an in-basket on our desk, and that was our input system. Now we have so many new places, and thanks to Web 2.0 type applications, new ones popping up every day. And I think even in your comment about it's your choice, you let it happen, I think there are a lot of people on the webinar who are feeling like, but wait a minute, every time I turn around, my company's introduced one more tool I have to go check.
Understood. You're right, Eric, that if you have allowed that to happen, I don't know that it's going to be a best practice, you know, that to be able to do that. Because ultimately, the task that you need to do, you're still going to need to determine. So, you know, it's one of the issues in the clouds, if you want to address that right now, that I have with the cloud. It's not about the cloud. The cloud's really cool in and of itself. But it's like, what are you keeping track of in the cloud in some collaborative way? If what you're trying to do is keep track of a project where you've got multiple streams of input and multiple people and multiple locations that are based with multiple systems, obviously the cloud's a great place to collect collaborative information that everybody can see and everybody can look at what's new and what's fresh and see one source with what's going on. I absolutely get the value of that. The problem is that what you don't have are things down at the call Fred or draft ideas about or whatever down at the action level about it. And then people very easily, okay, well, I've got this project in the cloud. So it's like, well, what's your commitment to do something about that project? How often do you need to look at what's going on in the cloud about that? And then what do you need to do about that? You're not going to be, if you have at least implicitly or explicitly agreed that that is a responsibility of yours and that that's the source of stuff you need to see. At what level of granularity and frequency do you need to see it to be able to get that off your mind? And you're still going to have to collect your own personal version of whatever that means to you and what you need to do about it, or what you're waiting on from somebody else to see if then if you need to light a fire or check status. And that's going to be up to your relationship to the project. I think you're right, Eric. I think it's probably a good trick out there and a good tip is to build a checklist called, okay, have I scanned, you know, these 16 things to make sure there's nothing loose and hanging out there.
I want to expand on something you just said because I think it is so key for anyone trying to deal with multiple systems and in the context of this question, even these cloud-based systems. One of the things that I see, David, when I coach people in using Lotus Notes and Lotus software applications, they have these multiple collaborative tools and team rooms and Lotus activities and so on, and they leave their commitments out in those places, and they just trust that when they get back to those places, they'll know what to do next. And of course, the problem then is the system breaks down. They don't have a single place that they can look at for everything that they are committed to do. So when I coach these people, the advice that I give them, and I'd love your take on this, the advice that I give them is that's fine. If you're using Lotus Activities to collaborate on a project with 12 other people, that project at some level still becomes personal. What are you responsible for? And even if you create an assignment in Lotus Activities, you've got to get that back into some system that you can trust. Now, more and more work is being done every day to make it easier to like drag an activity over and have it appear in the sidebar in Lotus Notes, for example. But if that's not part of your regular review cycle or review process, it's too easy for that to get out of mind. So I think the two takeaways I'd like to leave people with are, number one, have a checklist that causes you to go back and check those external systems that you've chosen to interact with. And number two, as you interact with those systems, ask, what am I committed to do here? And get that back onto your personal system. It sounds like it's duplication because you're recording in two places, but you're going to get it done if it's on your personal system. Otherwise, it's just too easy to be out of mind.
You know, my version of that issue or challenge right now, because I'm not doing much of anything in the clouds other than how Lotus Notes is in the clouds in and of itself in an interesting way. But all my mind maps on my computer, I probably got over 100 working mind maps right now. And so the danger even for me, and I teach this stuff, I know it's dangerous, is to have done a lot of creative thinking or capturing ideas on that mind map, or I'm using the mind map as in a teleconference of a briefing with a client and capturing lots of good data. How do I make sure that I don't save that file and get it out of sight and out of mind without gleaning all the next steps out of that I need to track in my system? So exactly the same sort of thing. I've got my own cloud, if you will, that as soon as you take something off the screen, it's in the cloud. At least it's in my little micro version of it, and I need to be very careful. So here's a tip for everybody, and I know this is going to, you know, the trees would love it if they knew how well they were being used. Print it, folks. You get online, you see something, and you know there's probably something I need to do.
Yep.
I don't have
create
time
an artifact.
To think about it. Create an artifact and then throw that in your own in basket. That's what I do with my mind maps. If I don't have time, I know there's something I need to still think about this, I just hit print. And then I throw that printed mind map into my in basket because that'll get zeroed out and that'll be my trigger when I pull it up to say, okay, what do I now need to do about it?
There's something very powerful about that tangible artifact. I think that's why there's a certain lure and attractiveness to a paper-based planning system because there's something tangible there. At the same time, we now live, most of us, in a digital world. Making that tangible and real for you could be a help. Let's keep moving. From Belgium, Michelle asks, I'm still struggling with the difference between putting something in your calendar and using a tickler file. Some clarification would be very helpful. I think it would be good if you gave an overview of the calendar as a list and then the concept of a tickler file as a list and perhaps how you use it for people who've never heard of a tickler before.
Yeah, well, a tickler in Europe, you guys call this, the Brits anyway, a bring-forward file. It's all called a suspense file. Basically, all it is using physical artifacts in a tickler file to say, okay, here's a receipt that I just printed out. I expect this to come from the company. I just ordered it by mail. I expect it to be here within a week, so I'll just drop the copy of that receipt 8 days out. So if I don't have it by then, this receipt automatically pops up, and then that's my trigger to say if I don't have it yet, it already has all the data, and I can just make a call and find out what's up. So that's the tickler file. It's a way to use a physical file system. I think we have a free article about using the tickler file.
Yep, 43 folders.
if you wanted to see how that works. And by the way, I do put certain things in the calendar and certain things, usually one or both of the other. The calendar can be used to do the same sort of thing. You just have to do an input. I'm too lazy to have to go input something if it's just a physical trigger that's all I need. So I use both. The problem with the calendar, for instance, I have a list of birthdays or dates, and I used to keep those. The problem was, especially if you're using a PDA, if you have all the dates of birthdays on there, you know, it starts to take up too much visual room on your PDA. So right. I just use an Excel spreadsheet, and then I print that spreadsheet every so often, and I just then use the printed spreadsheet, put it in my Tickler file. That way I can have, you know, I probably got 200 or 300 birthdays or anniversaries or things like that on that spreadsheet, and I just move it in the Tickler file to the next one that I care think I might want to actually do something about. To me, it's kind of six one, a half dozen the other. I wouldn't double enter. That's just too much work.
So we've got the calendar for date and time specific commitments. That's a list of commitments. And then the Tickler is basically a reminder system. David, you've described how you use a manual Tickler system with folders. And of course, it's also possible if people want to set up an electronic Tickler system so the system can bring that stuff forward to you again.
One of the uses of a calendar is what I call day specific information. On that day, I want to know that my wife's going to be in a seminar. On that day, I want to know that they're going to shut down the server for 3 hours. And that's actually information that's very appropriate to put on a calendar if there's sufficient visual room. You just don't want to make it like an appointment or a have-to action. You just want to park it somewhere as a piece of information that'll show up that day.
Great. Mike asks a question. Too often I spend too much time on urgent tasks and never get around to the important, but not the urgent. Any ideas on how to best manage that within GTD? It sounds like he's a victim of the tyranny of the urgent.
I think a lot of people mistake urgent for not important. You know, urgent, many times urgent is the most strategic thing you need to do given the nature of your job and the nature of the change in the world. I think the subtlety of that is, yes, but was that really the most urgent thing? There's no way you're going to answer that question without a really good conversation with your boss and with yourself on some regular basis. That's why the weekly review helps, and you may need to have at least a monthly review, if not even more often, with your boss called, hey, can we really talk about what are our real priorities here? It's one of those subtle but very powerful outcomes of GTD is the more that you get used to on a consistent basis going up into the fire tower and doing forest management instead of hugging trees, the more those kinds of issues, you don't get rid of those issues. It's a constant challenge for that, but it becomes you have a clearer criterion to make those judgment calls. And at some point, believe me, if you've got something seriously important that has to be done by 5 o'clock today, that makes it easier for you to make judgment calls about which, you know, or is that a rabbit trail worth going down or not. The more evident it is inside of you, the more you've hardwired your intuitive intelligence about what your 20 and 30 and 40,000 level of horizons, as we talk about the different horizons you have commitments, that's the only way to make those judgments much clearer.
In the next podcast, we'll continue our discussion with GTD creator and world-recognized productivity expert, David Allen. This is your host, Eric Mack. Thanks for listening in.
Don't miss upcoming episodes of Getting Things Done with Lotus Notes, the podcast. Subscribe today with your favorite feed reader. iTunes users should click on the Subscribe with iTunes link. Getting Things Done with Lotus Notes, the podcast, was brought to you by eProductivity, makers of the performance improvement application for Lotus Notes. Work smart, restore sanity to your hectic, information-overloaded life, and get more done. To learn more and download your free trial, visit www.eproductivity.com today.